Well, good morning and welcome to the church at Avenue South. For those of you that are first-time guests here with us, we are so grateful that you would carve out time to join us. We do not take that for granted. And when we gather on Sunday mornings, we worship, we praise God in a number of ways. And one of those is through the public reading of God's Word together and then responding as God leads us to put that into practical application in our lives when we leave this room and go into the other 6 days of our lives before we come back together next Sunday. I'm excited about beginning a new sermon series with you this morning. We're going to be in a four-week sermon series about gospel conversations, about having conversations with other people in the places where we live, where we work, and where we play about the gospel. And that literally means the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, that simply means we are witnessing about the good news. We are telling others about what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced Jesus do in our own lives and in our church family. And there are so many witnesses in this room. Even if you didn't know you were a witness, you can testify to what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced. Friday afternoon, Amy and I went to see Avengers Endgame. We went to see Avengers Endgame, and I don't know how many of you went, but you have had over 24 hours to go see it. And so I just want to tell you, I'm so sorry, but I just want to tell you my favorite part. I didn't see anybody put their fingers to their ears and start singing or saying, la, 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 I cannot hear you. Nobody did that, but you would not want me to spoil that movie for you. And what kind of awful pastor would I be to do that, right? I'm not going to do that for you, okay? But one of the things that I will be doing and have done since that movie is I've been sharing with people the parts in the movie that really stirred my affections. I've been sharing with people the things that shocked me and overwhelmed me, the characters I resonated with. And literally in the days ahead, when people say, have you seen it? I will share with them what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've experienced. Because I am now a witness to Avengers Endgame. And we laugh about that, and many of us will enjoy that, and maybe you'll think about that in the back of your mind when you sit down in the movie theater this week. But we're witnessing all the time. I mean, think about it. We are witnessing all the time to the things that we have seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced. And as much as I love movies, I do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest story ever told that has the most ability and impact to change people's lives and direct their futures. And so when Jesus calls me, and he calls you, and he calls us to be witnesses to that gospel, I want to be just as faithful to that as I am to my favorite movie. And that's what God calls us to do. And he calls us to do it with joy, excitement, and passion based on how Jesus has changed our own lives. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see where this is true in God's word. So would you stand with me in honor of Scripture this morning? And we're going to read from Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. Luke, a follower of Jesus, says this. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs and appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while he was with them, Jesus commanded the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will be my witnesses. You will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit has come on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling other people what you've seen, what you've heard and what you've experienced. And you'll do it in Jerusalem where you live, in Judea as you travel, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, the call is very clear, and the command is very simple, to be your witnesses to others about what we have seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced you do in our own lives. I pray this for myself, but I pray it for all of us corporately. Would you give us an excitement and a joy about witnessing to the power of the risen Jesus as much as we do about anything else in our lives that stirs our affections and moves our hearts? And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Sunday we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter morning, that first Sunday that Jesus was raised from the dead. And after the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days on the earth with his disciples before he was taken up, as Luke tells us in verse 2, before he ascended into heaven. And the first 8 verses of the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, a follower of Jesus, he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. The first 8 verses is a snapshot. It's a very general, overarching snapshot of some of the important things that were happening those 8 days in the life of Jesus and his original disciples, those followers who had committed to give their lives to him. And one of the most important commands that Jesus gave that Luke wants us to know in this snapshot of what happened after the resurrection is that Jesus told the disciples to wait. That's the first thing he said in verse 4. He told them to wait. Like, that's some of the most discouraging news and discouraging command that you can ever be told. You need to wait. Like, none of us really enjoy waiting, and we are an incredibly impatient people. When I grew up, you could not fast forward through commercials. There was no such thing as fast forwarding through a commercial, and VCRs and beta, if you know what that is, was weak at best at playing back and watching things. But now my children have no idea what it's like to grow up in a world where they don't have to wait through any commercials. They don't understand what it's like to have to wait on anything. And even in my own life, we're just so impatient as people. This past Wednesday, I was getting ready for our men's Bible study that meets on Wednesday mornings, every other Wednesday morning right here in this room. And we start at 6:45. And my responsibility, we rotate through teaching. Hunter Melton, our discipleship minister, was going to be teaching. My deeply spiritual and important responsibilities that morning were to stop by Krispy Kreme and pick up 2 dozen donuts to be sure the men were not only nourished spiritually, but fed well physically. Everything was going just as planned until I arrived at 5:52 and realized that Krispy Kreme wasn't open. I mean, like, I can't remember the last time I tried to go early to Krispy Kreme, but, like, why is Krispy Kreme not open at 5:52 a.m.? And the sign on the door said, "We open at 6. And there were employees that were cleaning off tables and wiping down things and preparing to turn on the hot and now sign. That's like a tractor beam that pulls you right in off of the road. And they saw me, and they looked at me, and at one point I made eye contact, and they made eye contact with me, and they did not come over and open the door. And I thought, I'm going to have to wait another 7 minutes. This is unreasonable. And whether it was the spirit or just being sane, the next thought that ran through my head was, you can chill out for 7 minutes. You can wait for just a few more minutes for what it is that you need that's really trivial in the grand scheme and light of eternity. We don't like waiting on anything, and we're such impatient people, which is why when Jesus said this, this is such a big deal. He said, wait. And why would Jesus say wait? There's a couple reasons why Jesus said wait. Jesus had always been with the disciples, but now he was going to ascend into heaven at the right hand of his Father, which is where he is right now. But he has promised us we will never be alone. God will never leave us or forsake us. And so he had told the disciples ahead of time, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. We serve and worship one God manifested in 3 distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They had been with Jesus and walked alongside of them, but they had never had Jesus or God take up residence inside of them. And the difference was, you used to go to church to be in and around the things of God. You would go to the temple or the synagogue to be around the presence of God. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, now he would take up residence inside of them.
And so for anyone, this is scriptural, it's in the New Testament, for anyone who believes in the finished work of Jesus on the cross to forgive sins, and for anyone who also believes that Jesus has been raised from the dead, he not only died for us, but he now lives to guide and direct and walk with us, we place our faith in him. And the New Testament tells us that God gives us his Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And the reason this is such good news is it means when our services are over in just a minute, you don't leave God in this room. You don't have to go to a worship location or to a church facility to engage Jesus or the God of the universe. You have him residing inside of you. He had never done that before, and now he was going to. So they had to wait. And the reason that was so important is because when the Holy Spirit arrives in your life, he brings with him some things that you don't have on your own. When the Holy Spirit arrives, he brings with him, imparting to you, things that you don't have on your own. I look around the room, there are a lot of driven people in this room, a lot of successful people in this room, a lot of creative, talented, beautiful people in this room, all created in the image of God. But there's something you don't have on your own that the Spirit brings to you. One of the things that Jesus told them was that you will receive power in verse 8. You will receive power. And the word here for power is dynamis. It's the Greek root word dynamis. So for those of you that love that, write that down. The Greek word here is dynamis. And you can wow somebody this week in Bible study and be like, I bet you didn't know this is dynamis. And they may look at you the same way some of you are looking at me. Big deal. What does it mean? It's the root word where we gain dynamite. It's the root word for dynamite. It is describing a power that has the ability to do incredibly powerful things in your life. Now think about what you do with dynamite. Speaking of waiting, I don't know if anybody's been on 440 lately. Now, if anybody's driven on 440 on the South Loop of downtown lately, that is an exercise in waiting and patience in and of itself. But one of the things that happened as they're resurfacing and reconfiguring that with all of the people in North America who've come to Nashville is that they're reconfiguring some of the original work from 30 plus years ago. And when much of 440 was built, it was built lowered than ground level. And many of the architects and engineers had to use dynamite to blast the limestone rock out of the way to place the interstate where it is. Now, the reason you need to know that is because they exploded rocks that were in the way to lay a path. That's the same type of thing Jesus is talking about. Like, I have the ability to remove obstacles and barriers in front of you that you can't do on your own. That's what he's talking about. So if you're going to go out from Jerusalem, if you're going to go out from Avenue South, from Nashville, wherever your work takes you in the morning, wherever your travels and vacation take you, you're going to need what the Spirit's going to bring to your life because he has the ability to remove and explode and separate things and prepare a path for you in the way you can't do on your own. Now, you and I may be able to do that well on our own, and we can make our own plans and work that plan. We feel pretty good about it at times, but we run into things we can't handle on our own. And the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to prepare a path for you. And one of the most important things that you need to know as a follower of Jesus is he always goes ahead of us to make straight our path. Unfortunately, as Christians, what we often do is we tell Jesus what we want, we drag the Holy Spirit along, we ask him to rubber stamp what we really want. And that's working and functioning in our own strength. And you and I don't have that power. What we want to do and what we did as a church when we launched 4.5 years ago was we prayed, God, please let us pay attention to sense where your Spirit's at work around us in Nashville, in Berry Hill, on 8th Avenue South, in our schools, in our communities, and let us join you in that work. And I literally prayed several times when we launched and when we began over 4.5 years ago, Lord Jesus, don't ever let us drag you behind and ask you to approve our work, but let us follow in your strength and in your power so that we will know it's of you because there's things we can't do on our own. And listen, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you ever thought about why you pray in Jesus' name. Why do we finish our prayers in Jesus' name? Why do we finish our prayers over lunch in just a moment in Jesus' name? It's because the power to do what God wants to do in our lives is in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus, not your name, it's not my name. And so we pray in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, wait, because you need that power to live the resurrected life. And because God is the only one who can provide it through the Holy Spirit, he said, wait for it. Wait for it. And one of the things that the Spirit does when he brings that power is he empowers us. He gives us a confidence. I can't do this. I don't know how I'm going to face this week. And that's why Jesus says, I've got this. I do. And me working in and through you, I will take care of you. And what I'm going to call you to do and invite you to do with me is to be my witnesses in this life. One of the reasons we don't immediately go to heaven when we place our faith in Jesus is so that we can tell others what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced. We've been empowered with this resurrection, Holy Spirit-given power to be witnesses and to testify to others what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced about Jesus. And I mentioned, many of us will be witnesses of many things this week. This weekend, it seemed like every possible event you can think of on the planet was happening in Nashville. The NFL draft was here, over 500,000 people for a three-day period. The Music City Marathon and Half Marathon happened this weekend. Jimmy Buffett played a concert in Bridgestone Arena in the midst of Dierks Bentley playing a concert down on the platform for the NFL draft. I mean, like, it was bonkers, and that's just two or three things that have been mentioned. And my father and I decided we would brave the mass humanity on Broadway, and then we would immerse ourselves in the NFL draft. Who knows if it's ever coming to Nashville again? And we decided we were going to be bold and brave, and we took an Uber, and we got downtown, and we just walked right into the middle of it. We walked right in the middle of it. I want to show you a picture. I just raised my phone up from downtown Broadway. This is me, my dad, and 200,000 of our closest friends. This is from Broadway near the river back towards Bridgestone, back towards the top of the hill at the top of Broadway. And you know what was fascinating is, like, everybody was wearing different jerseys, right? Everybody's wearing different jerseys. There were Titans. Tighten up. People looking at me like, I don't know you. And they're like, hey, man, tighten up. And I'm like, do we know each other? No, we don't. Like, but we're wearing the same colors. And there were people in Browns jerseys, Cleveland Browns. They were super confident about their team and their season, which is a difference from, like, the past 20 years. So good. Have fun. Have fun. Whatever. Right next to me, father, son from New York City. They're Giants fans. And I thought about quoting Paul's words to the church in Corinth. Listen, for those of us who've been through hard times, we're here to tell you there is hope on the other side of it, because the Giants fans really didn't enjoy the first part of the draft. But there were all these people there, and what was fascinating is everybody seemed to be one, and we didn't run into anybody that seemed to be uncivil or rude or mean. It was crazy how united everybody seemed, how much fun everybody seemed to be having. And listen, if you gave me another 15 minutes, another 5 hours, I'd tell you about all that I saw and all that I experienced and all that I heard, because I'd be witnessing. I've done it since Thursday, and I'll do it again. Listen, this room is full of witnesses who testify all the time to what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced. We do that all the time with so many things we're passionate about, so many things that stir our affection. If you're a follower of Jesus and we believe that what he's done for us is good news, gospel, why would we not prioritize telling others about the risen Jesus as much as we would anything else going on in our life? And my concern is that we're not as passionate about Jesus as we are anything else that appeals to our flesh. But it's also convicting to me, like, why do we as Christians not share and have conversations, like gospel conversations with other people? And one of the things I think is because we don't have a lot to share. Let me just sit with that for a minute. We don't share about what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced about Jesus because we don't have a whole lot to tell. I can tell you when I came to faith in Jesus, and maybe you have a story. You can tell somebody you heard the gospel and you responded and said, I believe. But do you have anything else you can tell? There's been points in my life where I felt convicted. That's embarrassing. That's all I can tell somebody. Because my faith was not growing. I was not maturing in Christ. And here's the deal. You can only feed off that story for so long. It's real. It's legit. You belong to Jesus. But you can only feed and be nourished off that story for so long, which means you really don't have anything else to share with others. Why do you think we encourage you to read Scripture? When I read it here, I encourage, usually every Sunday, for you to go home and read this passage throughout the week so that you can see what Jesus is doing. You can experience it for yourself. Why do you think we emphasize being in Bible study or being in life group or having a Bible reading group? It's so that you can see how Jesus is changing lives. It's so that you can experience it firsthand. That's where you see as eyewitnesses what you will witness about later. Listen, talking about that power that Jesus offers that we don't have on our own, I am so proud of so many of the women and men in our congregation who have said, this is my story, this is my past. Maybe it was the way you were raised or your relationship with your parents is not what you wanted. And maybe if we cut them slack, you're like, I get it, it's hard. And when you raise your own family, you realize it's a whole lot harder than I thought it was. But I don't want that for my kids. I want something different. Or I don't want that type of marriage. I want something different. And you don't need to live against something. Don't live against something, but live in a manner where many of you have invited the Holy Spirit into your life and you've said, like, I can't do it. I know what I want, but I can't do that on my own. And you're going to have to help me, Lord, lay out these steps. You're going to have to orchestrate my future because here's what I want, and I'm praying that you would be honored in this. And for many of you, you're seeing your family trees changed by the power, the dynamis of the Holy Spirit. You're seeing your future changed in front of your eyes. And when you're in a Bible study or you're in a Bible reading group or a small group or you meet with your mentor and they tell you or you hear someone talk about how the power of the Holy Spirit through a relationship with Jesus is changing their life, it's compelling. It's contagious. And you want to tell other people about it. And so, like, it seems so basic, but I think as Christians, we need to do the basics and the fundamentals well. You need to be in the Word, and you need to be in Bible study with other peers and other people in the church. You need to be growing because that's where you see, hear, and experience the risen Jesus in a way that you might not be otherwise. And one of the most incredible things is that as you grow in your relationship, you can tell with others what you're seeing and what God's doing in your life. I mean, let me ask this question. Are you witnessing about Jesus to anybody? Just hang with me because the word witnessing or testifying, it scares some of us. Like, what are you asking me to do? Like, walk up to a stranger on the street and be like, do you know Jesus? That's odd. Just hang with me. Have you shared with anybody in the last month about what Jesus has done for you? Have you shared with anybody in the last 12 months what you've seen Jesus do in our community? What you've seen him do in our church? What you've seen him do in someone's life? What you've seen him do in your family or in your dorm room or on your college hallway? Have you shared with anybody? Listen, we saw video testimony of a member of our congregation who just started talking to somebody else about faith, who just started asking open-ended questions about their faith and sharing what Jesus was doing for them. And about 12 months later, here we are on a Sunday morning celebrating that an incredibly gifted, creative, talented chef and leader in our community has chosen to follow Jesus Christ because someone simply shared a gospel conversation with them. You never know what Jesus is going to do when you just share about what he's done in your life. And throughout the book of Acts, about 12 different times, it says, witness, be my witnesses, or they were witnessing, about 12 different times. And every time it's said, it's communicated and implied that it's not an event, it's a way of life. It's not an event, it's a way of life. And one of the churches that I was a part of in college and shortly thereafter, like every Tuesday night, we did visitation. We literally took the guest cards from Sunday and we went to their houses and knocked on their door and told them, we love you. We're so grateful that you came to our church. Is there anything we can do for you? And can we talk to you about Jesus? And some people wouldn't open the door. That's crazy, right? A total stranger saying, I want to ask you something very intimate and very personal. Would you open up? It's intimidating. I get it. And you may be sitting there being like, I probably should share my faith, but it's scary. Well, I think many of us were raised that it's transactional. I tell you about Jesus, then I ask, do you want my Jesus? Like, I don't know you. So, like, here's what's fascinating about being a follower of Jesus. You probably are already connected to the relationships you live, where you work, and where you play, where you can have gospel conversations with people already. Gospel conversation is simply sharing the good news of Jesus. Sharing the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, in the places where you live, where you work, and where you play. And then you trust God with the results. Many of us have felt like it's transactional or it's awkward or we might offend them. You might be offensive. The gospel, and Peter, a follower of Jesus, said it best. In 1 Peter, he said, you should always be prepared to share your faith. Always be ready to give a reason for why you believe what you believe, but you should do it in love. You should do it gracefully and with love. And that's one of the things I love about Jesus. Like when he told people the truth, sometimes the truth is hard to hear, but he had relationships with people, and the people that he met by a well or people that were in a tree when he walked by trying to get a glimpse of him, he told them the truth, but he did it gracefully and he did it in love. You are probably already in relationships with people where you live, where you work, and where you play that you can share your faith. And all God asks us to do is simply share what he's doing in our lives. Now, over the next 3 weeks of this series, over the next three Sundays, we're going to be pushing out ways that you can have gospel conversations. If you're fearful, you're scared about sharing your faith, I get it, that's legit. But we're going to be pushing those things to you. And throughout the church this morning, on all the television screens in the commons area, there are slides rolling, and we hope you look at those to see kind of what's going on in the life of the church so that we don't overwhelm you with every message on a Sunday morning and then risk that you don't hear the message. So pay attention to the screens that scroll, and one of them says, text the word gospel to a phone number. Text the word gospel to a number, and three times this week we will push you articles, short videos, blog entries about how to have gospel conversations with other people. It's simply sharing your faith, the good news of Jesus, where you live, work, and play, and trusting him with the results. I've shared my faith, and people didn't respond, and they were intent, and they were sincere, and they looked at me, and they're like, cool, well, I got to run. And I was like, and thanks for the time. I got to go. Like, do you want to respond in any way to what I've shared with you? I mean, how many of us got it the first time? Right? So we cultivate relationships for the purpose of what? Showing people that they are created in the image of God and wanting his best for them, but we share in hopes that they will meet Jesus too. And sometimes that takes a while, but you trust Jesus with that. We just do what we're told to do. You will be my witnesses. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where you are, in Judea, a little bit further out, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Like, you will be my witnesses in the places where you live, where you work, and where you play. Jesus never said, and you're going to close the deal or else. Like, I'm in the Christian Standard Bible. I don't know what yours says. But he doesn't say our responsibility is to get somebody to respond. You're not responsible for the results. I'm not responsible for the results. I'm responsible to share the greatest thing that has ever happened on this planet that has the most power to impact the most amount of people forever for the better. I'll be held accountable. You'll be held accountable. We as a church will be measured and held accountable by whether or not we were faithful and obedient to respond to that. And then we trust Jesus with the results. And I hope that liberates some of you. I hope that frees you up that like, whoo, I don't have to like say something transactional and they respond this way. Like, that's not how relationships work, right? We share the good news of Jesus. We have gospel conversations with them. And we keep watering that seed. And if Christians around North America would behave and live in the way that Jesus calls us to, people who don't know him would encounter a whole lot of Christians who have had their lives changed in the same way and say, there must be something to this Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to be the church on Sunday in this 1 hour, but the other 167 as well. So one of the things we're going to do, I thought this would be so helpful for us, I hope it's encouraging for us, is that we built a gospel conversations board and we nailed it to the wall in the commons area. I don't know if any of you saw it this morning, but there's a gospel, like, do me a favor, turn around and look that way right there. Can you see? Ronnie, wave at everybody. Hey, Ronnie. Ronnie's like, let me get out of the way. Some of you may not be able to see it. There's a gospel conversations board in the hallway. And the reason we put it there is you see it when you walk in, but you definitely see it when you walk out. And what we want you to do over the next 3-4 weeks when we're in this series is if you share what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced about Jesus, share something you read. I talked with a waitress at one of the restaurants around here this week. And in the conversation, like, hey, how are you? What do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. What do you do? Well, okay, we're here. I mean, like, so how was Easter? How was your Easter? Like, see, you know one of the things I love about Jesus? I didn't preach. I was like, one of the things I love about Jesus, they're like, that's cool, because, like, here's what I like about Jesus. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're having a gospel conversation. That was, like, not hard. Like, we just share. And so one of the things I'm going to do when the service is over, there's a bucket of yellow pushpins. I'm going to go grab one of those yellow pushpins and I'm going to put it on the map in the place where I had that conversation. And what that does to me is it reminds me to be faithful and obedient and to trust Jesus with the results. We have celebrated this morning a woman giving her life to Christ because a faithful follower of Jesus started a gospel conversation. It changes lives by the power of the Spirit, and God gets the credit if we're obedient. So, like, if you showed up this morning and somebody from the first service said, I've been having gospel conversations with someone, I said, well, then march on up and grab one of those pushpins. Put it on that board because we need to celebrate what's happening in the life of our church. When you come in next Sunday, if you've shared this week, put a pushpin up there. It will be a visual snapshot of our growth and maturity as a campus. But it won't be guilt-ridden, and it's not legalistic or religious, like, I don't see enough pushpins up there. I need to see a tally board. How many decisions this week? By the way, there were several last Sunday. There have been decisions this week for people to follow Christ for the first time ever. It's happening. But we're going to celebrate our faithfulness and our obedience, and we're going to trust our risen Jesus to do what only he can do, which is save people and empower them in a way that we've discovered and we want others to discover as well. So I don't know if you've thought, as I've been talking, like you feel convicted or guilty, like, oh my gosh, I should be sharing. Well, here's the deal. When you have an awesome experience this week that you want to tell others, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will just be right there with you to say, and tell others about me. You're fired up about this. Tell others about me too. My prayer is that as you share, you'll say, like, oh my gosh, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm just going to put it out there and trust Jesus, and that you'll do it. Maybe this morning there's somebody you know that you want them to hear the gospel, and you're like, I don't even know where to start. We're going to help you. We're going to equip our congregation, but maybe you need to start praying for that person today. Not as a target of conversion, but as someone that's created in the image of God who has not fully understood his love and his concern for them. I have two people in my neighborhood I'm praying for right now. Two people. Maybe there's somebody you want to be praying for right now. But do something with what God's stirring up, and let's be faithful to show him how we've been obedient with that, and let's celebrate that as a congregation. We've been given the power of the risen Jesus to be his witnesses. And the results are not what we'll be measured on, but our faithful obedience will be. My goodness, when we meet Jesus, let's just let him know, and he'll know before we get there. We're not perfect. We made a lot of mistakes, but you told us to do this. And God helping us on 8th Avenue and in Berry Hill and Nashville, Middle Tennessee, we did that. And I believe when we fully get to heaven, when we get there, we'll fully understand all the people that came to faith as a result of our obedience to the gospel. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute?